This Hamlet is quite a serious play. It all takes place in Denmark, where young Hamlet is the Prince of Wales. His dad's ghost appears to him on the castle battlements, and Hamlet says, "Blimey, Dad, you didn't half give me a turn." Then he says, "You're looking a bit peaky, Dad." But the old ghost says, "Oh, I feel all right in myself." Well, then he starts beckoning Hamlet to lead the way to somewhere a little bit more secluded. But Hamlet says, "No," he says, "after you, Dad," and follows the ghost out. Well, in the next scene, the old ghost doesn't half start telling young Hamlet the tale. He says, "I don't know if you're aware of it, son," he says, "but there's been some dirty work going on." He says, "It's been going the rounds that I was stung to death by a snake, but in point of fact, I was stung by your Uncle Claude, who now wears the crown." He says, "It was like this, son. I was having a little kip down in the orchard just after tea." We know it was after tea because Hamlet says he took my father grossly, full of bread. This is called internal evidence, you see. "When your Uncle Claude stole up behind me and emptied some poison in me ear hole." Well, the old ghost goes on, "To cut a long story short, I was took queer on the Sunday and I was dead on the Monday." And Hamlet says, "Go on." Then the ghost says, "Well, so long, son. I must be getting back now." And back he goes. By the way, I ought to have mentioned that young Hamlet's mother, the widow of the ghost, has gone and married the very man who caused her former husband all this inconvenience. And when young Hamlet has had this interview with the ghost, he comes over all funny and he has to take some of his tablets in order to get it down. Well, in the middle of all this unpleasantness, poor Hamlet has no friend to turn to. Ophelia, his young lady, has turned out a big disappointment. Somehow or other, she doesn't seem to be able to come up to the scratch. I don't know how it is. I think it's mostly on account of her upbringing. She's been made thoroughly cowed by her father, Polonius. He's the Prime Minister and head of the Secret Service Department. Hamlet hits him off a treat. "Oh, him," he says, "he is all for a joke or a tale of bawdy or he sleeps." How well we know that type. Anyway, at the finish, Chance steps in. Young Hamlet sits moping about, you see. He doesn't seem to have any go in him somehow. So the old king says to him, "Look, Cousin Hamlet." Cousin means nephew in Shakespeare, you see. He says, "You're properly run down. What about a few days at the seaside?" But Hamlet says, "No, I tell you what I would like, Uncle Claude." He says, "Could we have the local repertory company in to do a show?" And the old king says to Rose and Krantz and Guild and Stern, only two people, you see, "Why not?" He says, "It might take him out of himself a bit." Well, now Chance steps in again, because young Hamlet arranges with this theatrical company to enact a copy of a play in which the story is so similar to the circumstances of his own dad's death, it's positively uncanny. "Now then," he says to Horatio, "while this play is progressing, keep your eye on Uncle Claude. If he blenches, we shall know he's the guilty party." Well, believe it or not, in the middle of this play, the king goes and blenches. No, it's right, honestly. And Hamlet immediately shouts out, "Wormwood, wormwood," meaning, "I reckon you ought to be locked up." And then all the lights fuse and the old king rushes out in a panic, shouting for an electrician. Well, be that as it may, in the next scene, young Hamlet slays Polonius. He stabs him through the arras, you see, where he's secreted himself in order to satisfy his curiosity. And so Polonius dies as Aristotle laid down some years before through his weak spot. And young Hamlet pushes his body into a little cupboard on the back stairs and leaves it there. Well, a few days later, the king says to Hamlet, "Here," he says, "I haven't seen Polonius lately." And Hamlet says, "I know." He says, "I reckon he'll be getting himself into bad odour." Anyway, now Chance rears its head, because at the finish, the old king sees he's up against a dangerous man, and he sends for Laertes, the brother of Hamlet's young lady, who, by the by, has just done away with herself by a watery death because she can't hold out any longer. And he says to Laertes, "Look, old man," he says, "I want you to challenge Hamlet to a duel with a poisoned tip." So Laertes dips the tip of his rapier into unction. No, it's right. And old Claudius puts a poisoned pill into a goblet of wine in case this poisoned tip misses fire. Couple of right baskets, I can tell you. Well, anyway, in the middle of the fight, the old queen thinks she'd like a quick one, so she goes drink some of the poisoned cup. The king shouts out to her, "Don't touch it, Gert," he says, "it's poisoned," but he's too late. Then Laertes gives Hamlet a poisoned tip, but Hamlet puts his foot on it and gets it away from him and gives him one back. Then he says he smells treason and he rushes up to the king and he gives him a fourpenny one. Then he tips the dregs of the wine right down his throat and then they all die, the king and the queen and Laertes and young Hamlet. And then just to round it all off, Fortinbras comes in. He's just come back from the polls, you see, or one or other of them. And he comes in without so much as a by your leave or a may I, and he sees them all laid out there, and he says, "Hello," he says, "have they been quarrelling again?" And down comes the curtain.